you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This hour is brought to you by Menards. Save big money at Menards.
If y'all ready, give me a hell yeah.
Oh, hell yeah.
While we do not know for sure who the next co-host is, management and I are working diligently together to lock that in. Over the next 2 weeks, you'll hear voices you know well, like Anthony Herron, Gabe Ramirez, Mark Brody, Ronnie Maklouf, and more. We hope to be able to announce something official very soon. Now, please continue to enjoy what the Odyssey podcast feed delightfully refers to as Score Afternoons.
That is a delightful lineup of co-hosts that you have over the next couple of weeks here.
I'm thinking about calling it Spiegel & Company. You know what's fun about Spiegel & Company is it sounds a lot like Skibbity-Boppity, Spiegel & Company.
Spiegel & Company, I do not think that as a rookie, you can go in there and lead the team and say, hey guys, here's my purse. That would be like Caleb Williams bending over and you see a thong in his ass.
Matt Spiegel's Flying Circus in honor of Monty Python.
I want to be on television. Well, you can't.
I was thinking about going with this one. Tell me what you think. The Dan Patrick Show. What do you think?
There's something to be said for a guy that...
A thong in his ass.
It's time for the Score Afternoon Show with Matt Spiegel and Anthony Herron on Sports Radio 670 The Score and live on the free Odyssey app.
Appreciating the Thundercat underneath that. And as we come in, Spiegs and Anthony Herron right now here today. Hello, Anthony. What's up, my man?
Hello, Matthew. How are you?
I am wonderful. We're going to get right to the news of the day because Nico Horner is going to be on for his regular Tuesday slot at 2:30. But Matt Eberflus has told assembled Bears media that Caleb Williams and the starters will not play against... I know, right? I know. I'm with you.
Boo!
Caleb's not playing Thursday. Most of the starters are not playing Thursday. This is Coach Flus, though, talking about his takeaways so far from the rookie quarterback's preseason, which is now complete.
Just the process of being able to get, you know, into the huddle, make the call, be clean, get to the line, you know, look at the shot clock and say, okay, this is a little bit low, and move guys around fast enough to get the snap off, have awareness, you know, and then really do a good job of at the line of scrimmage to be able to adjust to what the defense gives you, you know, and make your adjustments from there. And I think it's been clean. And then post snap, I think he's been relatively good in terms of going through his progressions. You know, making good decisions, you know, taking care of the football in the pocket with two hands and moving around there when he has to have to do that. But overall, I thought a good preseason for him.
So first question quickly, Ant, about that. Does Matt Eberflus sound like a competent head coach, even though he's got a defensive bent, in discussing his quarterback's play?
Yeah, I think so. Sure. I mean, didn't have any concerns about that part. Doesn't mean he can... coach for long term here, but sure.
Yeah, hey, as he's dissecting quarterback, doesn't sound like one of those guys who's disconnected from the entire thing.
No, I mean,
necessarily.
He's been defending quarterbacks his entire coaching career and playing career, so yeah, he should be able to discuss that.
This is Matt Eberflus on if they're going to start getting Caleb ready for Tennessee, because it'll be 22 days between times on the field against NFL competition.
We do as coaches, for sure. You know, we've been doing that, you know, all season and working into that, so... preliminary plans on those. But with him, we're going to wait. You know, we're going to wait a little bit for that. You know, it'll be into next week when we start working on Tennessee.
So here we are. And I know you really wanted it to happen. You disappointed?
Mildly. Yeah, because I'm not surprised. You know, if I expected the starters, Caleb and a majority of the starters to see action, I'd be more disappointed. But this is where the league is going pretty much in modern football. So I'm not surprised by it. But I think with a rookie quarterback, he would benefit from a series or two. So I was hopeful, but not surprised.
Well, we'll be talking about some of the other rookies and their preseasons a little bit later on in the show. I wonder if all of them are going to be dealt with in a similar kind of way. It's obviously been a very unique decision for coaches to get to do what they want. It feels like Caleb's getting the respect of a veteran here. And maybe what we hear in that first cut and some other things is that he has earned the respect of a guy who prepares and is a little bit further along than your normal rookie quarterback.
Possibly. I mean, certainly the respect of a starter, which they said right away that he was going to be. And, you know, the franchise is in his hands. So the respect of a starter, 100%. Respect of a veteran, maybe. Because yeah. he certainly seems to have been handling himself really well up to this point. But yeah, I mean, if he goes out there and somebody steps on his big toe and breaks it and he has to miss a month or something like that, then sure, that would be unfortunate. But, you know, veteran, starter, I guess in this case, they're kind of judged one and the same as far as playing time.
I am selfishly bummed that we don't get to watch a little bit more on Thursday night.
Right.
Like it's just been fun, but I mean, I don't feel like I've necessarily more to learn, but I'm pretty sure that he does.
Exactly. That's what it comes down to. He's got more to learn. He's got more to experience. And you know, we're going to talk, like you mentioned, about some of the young quarterbacks by comparison to some of the other young guys out there, especially some of the ones that were just recently learning are going to be starters for their team.
Yeah.
The refinement of his game will need to continue to grow for the Bears to have as much success as they're hopeful for this year.
Yeah. So he's Anthony Heron. He looked really good in a tank top in high school.
Oh, you should have seen
his face. Oh, Brett Bielema noticed it. Yeah.
Breathtaking. Just breathtaking. And I was always young for my grade. And so that was right. Like, I didn't start lifting weights until right before my senior year in high school, too. So I was just developing muscular. You know, my musculature at that point was just really coming into its own.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's nice. And there was no damage had been done. Like, you were
limited.
Yeah.
Limited damage had been done.
I mean, but like you were a remarkable species of manhood at the time.
I was
good.
Quite a specimen.
You wanted the whole world to notice.
Now, I'm not aging in reverse like Tom Brady. I know like Brady's got some quotes out there about QB development. Maybe we can come to some of those later in the show.
Oh, you want to?
You know, he is aging in reverse.
Well, that's because he's on some kind of devil steroid
He's got Marconi in his blood. That's what it is.
He's got Marconi Award in his blood. Yeah,
yeah,
whatever.
It's helping.
Whatever that he and Alex Guerrero have figured out together, it's quite a remarkable thing.
Man, that Netflix special was something else.
Yeah, it definitely was. He's Anthony Heron. I'm Matt Spiegel. We're going to have some fun all day today. Lots of Bears stuff coming on, a bunch of baseball as well. Your phone calls, your texts, all welcome at 312-644-6767. A reminder that Mark Grody's next installment of Training Camp Live is tonight at 6, right here on The Score. Bears training camp coverage is presented by ChevyDriveChicago.com and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. Our guy, Nico Horner, with his weekly appearance. That's next on Spiegs and Anthony Heron in the afternoon here on 670 The Score.
Number two, Nico Horner. Second baseman for your Chicago Cubs.
Nico grew up here, you know, as a young kid sitting in the stands. His favorite players were Miguel Tejada, Eric Chavez. I mean, that's a dream come true right there.
Really cool.
Horner rips one into left field. It'll drop in for a base hit. One run comes in on the ribby single by Horner. It is now 4-1 Cubs here in the fourth.
Taking you inside the Cubs clubhouse all season long. Nico Horner on 670 The Score.
And this segment with Nico is brought to you by Phillips Chevrolet, the number one selling Chevy dealer in Illinois for 18 years in a row. Matt Spiegel and Anthony Heron here, along with our guy Nico Horner. What's up, man? Where are you in the never-ending game of find Nico for the Zoom? You can see him on the Twitch at 670thescore.com/Twitch. Where are you, sir?
Yeah, I'm usually a little more entertaining, but I'm on the road. I'll find something more interesting, but I'm just in a hallway of Wrigley.
Okay. And is that, but that's the big silver or metallic reflecting sea behind. Oh, look at that. The zoom out or the tilt up. That's impressive camera work right there from Nico.
It's just a hallway of the locker room. But when you first get called up here, it's definitely a maze. It's circular and you can kind of just keep walking in one direction until you find what you need.
Yeah, and there's tunnels down there. Like you can get to the clubhouse, you can get to the office building as well. Like it's all interconnected. Fancy.
Yeah, it's quite nice.
Hector Neris designated for assignment and gone this morning. Did you guys get a chance to say goodbye? I know he was a beloved teammate.
No, I didn't. I was aware that, you know, that would be maybe an option, but not until after we played the game and he pitched on Sunday. So, yeah.
It's weird to not even get a chance to say goodbye to somebody you've been this close with since February, isn't it?
Yeah. Unfortunately, that's just kind of the way it goes. It's not personal in this game, but the same goes for trades and, guys getting called up, sent down, moving on. And I feel like I haven't been here that long and it's crazy the amount of guys you end up playing with in a big league career.
That's an interesting thing with baseball. Just the length of the season lends itself to so many different transactions and even, you know, the minor league system. So that just functions differently in the season than most other sports. As you guys are tracking that within the clubhouse, I mean, how much of that are you paying close attention to just in even sort of monitoring what is the organization telling you guys about the performance of the team, how close you are to expectations? Does that end up impacting the way that you're just kind of observing transactions?
Yeah, I think the trade deadline is probably the biggest example of that. And I thought, you know, the way that we handled it this year was interesting. It made a lot of sense. As far as, you know, day-to-day call-ups, call-downs, obviously every one of those moves has impacts on guys, but it's really whatever you can control what's in front of you. And just as far as Hector, you guys mentioned already, but really an amazing teammate. You know, you look at his body of work and his career and just the amount of games that he's pitched and the consistency he's had in his career is just so impressive, especially when you see the amount of injuries and inconsistency and around baseball this year, bullpen guys. It's a tough role, and you know, he gave absolutely everything he had to the Cubs. So, yeah, great teammate, and I'm glad I got to play with him.
Bullpens are weird, man. It's like
it's hard.
It is hard. It's hard to predict. And I mean, there was a guy in town this past weekend now with the Blue Jays, Tommy Nance. I remember when Tommy came up with the Cubs and it was like, oh my God, look at this stuff. They found somebody. And then a few months later, he's gone and he scuffles around. It's like, it's why is it so volatile for bullpen arms from one year to the next, you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. I mean, I think that the bullpen and those short outings, it's a sprint seemingly, like every time they go out there and they're maxing. And so it's the guys that can push that level of intensity, but also maintain it for a long time. And, you know, I think there's the threshold for getting to the big leagues in that role right now is so high that it's really hard to maintain the physical stuff that you need in order to have a place. And so the guys that do it year after year, you just have all the more respect for them. You think of, you know, Pedro Strop and like the amount of years in a row that he was throwing a, you know, 2.5, 2.8 ERA out there with the amount of games he pitches. It's like, yeah, I really appreciate those guys when you have them.
So, meanwhile, the Cubs bullpen has been dominant since June 1st. It's the best bullpen ERA in baseball since June 28th.
That's amazing, yeah.
Since June 28th, like the bullpen ERA is under 2. The second best is 2.70. Like, it's that much better than everybody else. And part of that is Jorge Lopez. Talk about a volatile year. What a journey for that guy after what happened in New York. Mets PR did him wrong that night. Like, has that come up at all? Were you guys conscious of everything that went down for him in New York? Because he's been absolutely lights out as a Cub.
I mean, conscious of it, just I think as every baseball fan was. You know, it was definitely a headline when it happened. But, yeah, I know we have welcomed him with open arms, and he's done nothing but take the ball and shut guys down with that sinker. And it's been very impressive, like you said.
Yeah, I mean, dude was an all-star in Baltimore, was dominant in the world. Right, right. And dominant in the World Baseball Classic with Team Puerto Rico. So there he is. Have you guys been told that he's the closer? Do you assume he's the closer? Is that out of your purview, Nico?
I don't have the answer to that. Hopefully we're winning by two or three in the ninth tonight and we get an answer. I'm not sure. I mean, I think we got a couple guys that could do it. I'm sure Porter could do it. He's been incredible for us and nice to have a couple solid options for it.
Speaks and I were talking yesterday about Mark Leiter Jr. and just being in a position where when one of these transactions happens in the midst of the season and he's whisked away to New York, he takes the mound. He doesn't even know his teammates with the Yankees. They're trying to, you know, he's going around shaking everyone's hands in the clubhouse. Hasn't met the infield yet, and there he is. Have you been in a scenario like that yet where a guy takes the mound who's just arrived in town and you've barely even met him? And what is that like?
Yeah, I mean, 2021 was definitely a revolving door of sorts. I think we broke the record for most players on a team that year. Obviously, that was a year of extremes with the amount our roster changed. But one cool thing on Mark was we were in Cincinnati, obviously, for the trade deadline. And, you know, he pitched that first day he was there, and then he pitched the next day. And just in the locker room, the whole team is they had a day game. So we were just gathering around the TV watching, rooting him on. And I just thought that was a pretty sweet moment, like when think about when you leave a place, you want to leave in good terms. And I thought that was a great reflection of that all the team, players, staff, everybody rooting around the TV, watching the pitch, getting out of the base of a lot of jam. And I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, 69 different players for the 21 Cubs, the most ever used by a single team in a season. That is absolutely crazy. Javi Baez was on that team. And then, and then all of a sudden he wasn't. Here's Javi today. You looking forward to seeing him?
Yeah, definitely. Oh man, he deserves every bit of a warm reception that I'm sure he'll get. And he did so many incredible out of body things in the stadium, in this place. And you know, I think him and Wrigley were kind of a perfect match in some ways, with just the energy that people provide for us and what he provides for people that come to the game, and they would start chanting his name, and he'd just automatically homer. It was great.
I don't know if I've ever seen a crowd love on a player more than you would see Wrigley love on Javi Baez. You could feel it sometimes.
Yeah, definitely. And you know, it's stuff you can't teach. You can't, you know, decide to be like him. Or he absolutely loved Wrigley and embraced being a Cub and took a lot of pride in that. So I'm really excited to see the ovation he gets tonight.
It's odd for us, Nico, to see Javi and Chris Bryant struggling in their careers. See the numbers where they are. What's that like for you guys to when you look around and see that kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just a reminder of, you know, the level of baseball we're playing and not only how hard it is to get to the level that they've played at, but to sustain it too. That's why just like the long-term success, we talked about it with bullpen guys, but same goes for position players too, just guys that are able to adapt and evolve through every bit of changes that baseball's been in, even just in the time that they've been superstars. You know, the league is always finding new ways to get you out and do things. And
I mean, Javi's a unique brand of athlete, of course, but you're rather athletic in your own right. In the years you've gotten to interact with, be with, and around Javi, observe him from close and far, are there elements of his game, of his flair even, that you've maybe tried to pick up over the years?
I think there's things you can learn from guys without necessarily emulating. You know, we're very different in a lot of ways, but something I really appreciate about him is just his willingness to play and to play hard too. I think that's something that, you know, maybe people around baseball that don't watch him every day or obviously don't play with him don't understand, but that guy did absolutely everything he could to be on the field, play through anything, and play to win too. And he played the game hard. And that's, you know, something I think that can be true across everybody, regardless of play style, and do it while having fun too. Might not end up looking like Javi Baez, but I think there's things we can all learn from that. Definitely.
Yeah. It's they're going to say tagging. I try to tag as fast.
I actually will say I've gotten a lot better at tagging in my career. I think it's an underrated skill and something maybe people wouldn't have talked about as like a true skill until he displayed it as he has, and with replay and everything, as well as avoiding tags on the other end of it. So yeah, there's no metrics for that. They'll never have a good metric for that, but that's some serious outs above average out there for him.
Yeah, and I think you said it with replay. Like the arrival of replay and Javi's tagging prowess, you know, it's like all of a sudden you as an infielder, you got to think of it like framing, you know, like catchers think of framing. You got to grab it and move
it. It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Talking to Nico Horner here on Parkins and Spiegel. So is your broken hand healed? Like, what does that feel like these days for you? That fractured hand that you have?
I would call it healed. It's not a part of like my day-to-day like thinking, like I don't wake up and like,
is that a subjective thing, Nico? Can you just call it healed?
Yeah, I mean, it was just a little, like, it was just a little, I think even calling it a broken hand is extreme. It was a small fracture that you know, was definitely going to heal by itself. So yeah, not an issue at all. Although when I do give people handshakes, like the squeeze right like on that one particular spot, like it's just kind of annoying. That's the one thing.
So I shook your hand the other day. Like, so do you have to?
Yeah, but you've got a nice soft shake. No, I'm just
kidding. I love that. Thank you, Nico. Thank you so much for saying that. I was hoping you were going to have a response along those lines. Because the other end would have been,
that's rough.
Your handshake is so mighty that you re-broke Nico Horner's hand.
Well,
but it was
actually,
it was the opposite effect.
That's rough. Yeah. I'm going to
thank you for that,
have
Nico.
Trouble living that one down. I didn't want to give you the dead fish. There's a happy medium, right? You can't give the dead fish. But you can't give it.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Adrian Peterson, the former Vikings running back, used to take it as a badge of honor that he had the most vicious handshake in the history of mankind.
You don't think he was just that strong that he wasn't aware of his strength?
No, I think he was trying to show you just, you know, and trying to test your manhood. He's a football guy. Man,
yeah, I feel like that's something that he doesn't have to like reestablish. Like, it's kind of I see Adrian Peterson, I'm probably already assuming he's pretty strong.
Yeah, right. I could tell when he
got nothing to prove, is what you're saying.
He's bowled over three people on his way to get to the end zone like 10 times that week. What the hell?
At what point, Nico, do you go through sort of a mental exercise of convincing yourself not to sort of account for the mildly possibly broken hand? I mean, does it still cross your mind while you're playing?
No, that one really, really hasn't. I mean, there's every time you come back from injury, I think the first couple games, there's a little bit of just like mental, you know, am I trusting this and that? So, you know, when I first came back in Tampa, you know, 2 months ago or whatever that was, there might've been some thought of that, but that, no, it really has complete non-factor. But you know, there's always stuff guys are dealing with. But, you know, knock on wood, been really fortunate with my health this year.
Yeah. All right. Well, I mean, good. So next time I see you, I'm going to destroy that hand. I mean, I'm going to give you everything. I might bring over the other hand just to double up, you know?
Yep.
Oh God. It's so ridiculous. So a sight seen at Lollapalooza. About a week and a half ago, is that right, Robbie? Whenever you were at Lollapalooza, our producer Robbie, we call him Kirkland Shane, Kirkland brand Shane. No, we don't, but Shane's off. Shane's in Greece. But Robbie saw many young men at Lollapalooza in Nico Horner jerseys. Dudes rocking their faces off, perhaps tripping their faces off. We don't know. with your name.
No judgment, by the way.
No judgment. There's no judgment here on the score. With your name on their back, how does that feel to know that there were 20, 21-year-olds with your name on their back rocking it at Lala?
Yeah, that's a high honor. I know that they probably had their lineup of jerseys in their closet, and they're like, yep, that's the one for today. Like, that's going to mean I'm going to have a great day at Lala. And that means a lot to me.
Are you a rock festival guy? Would you go out and fight the crowd of 80,000 or more, or double that, to go see some rock and roll?
Yeah. I love live music. My girlfriend Julia was at 3 of the 4 days of Lala. I didn't make it this year. I did last year. I saw Kendrick and Fred again last year at Lala, and that was pretty awesome. But yeah, always down for a good time.
Wow.
You haven't invited him to see Sonic yet?
See Sonic, Sonic 45. No, yeah. Anthony wants me to invite you to see my band. It's enough, man.
Really?
Nico was doing back work on the South Side, and he saw me on TV. That's plenty.
Oh, nice. Okay. TV's Matt Spiegel.
Who's shouting at you? Who you got there, Nico?
We got Danny Mueller down the hallway. He runs the clubhouse here. He's a legend behind the scenes that if you're a Cubs fan, you should know about. So
yeah, yep. you know we know Danny Mueller because he was a bat boy for a day, right?
Oh yeah.
So
well, he was a bat boy for many years, and then he worked his way all the way to the top in here, and now he's the head guy running things.
It hadn't been too long since you were the young, fresh face in the clubhouse, kind of figuring things out. Seems like PCA starting to figure some things out here as of late. Are you a voice that maybe he's leaned on at different points now that he's kind of getting his major league legs under him?
Yeah, I mean, we have a good relationship, Pete. I think one thing that stood out just since before he was called up, I feel like he was just always very interested in asking questions and learning on the fly, and not in a way like he's just trying to go around and please people, because that kind of shows up with people sometimes, but just actually interested in the game of baseball and wanting to impact games in every single way. And I think that's, you know, something that we have in common, even though our skills show up in different ways. I think we both have a skill set that allows us to, you know, if you're not hitting well that day, you might make a great play and steal a base, or, you know, vice versa. And I think that's the kind of thing that's going to keep him as a starting player and, you know, hopefully a star in this game for a long time.
You know, Pete comes up all the time on the press box level, because one of the favorite things that old baseball dudes like to talk about is how hitting was back in their day, Nico.
Yeah.
You know, and I love it, because I mean, I miss leadoff hitters too. You know, like I miss like true slappy, fast, scrappy leadoff guys. So like, if out of town broadcasters would be like, "What? Why isn't this kid scrapping his way to get on?" And then I'll be like, "Have you seen the home runs he hits from time to time and the doubles?" It's like it's got to be so weird for Pete to be asked to be Brett Butler for the first two strikes and then a lefty slugger. With you know what I mean? It's such a weird thing to be asked to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the fun and challenging part of having a skill set that's really widespread, and you can impact the game in different ways. And I don't think there's necessarily a right or a wrong that's in that. You know, I think someone that were to tell Pete on a level of, you know, you should be trying to pull the ball in the air every single at bat and slug and like only do that is obviously limiting him. And then someone who was saying hit a ground ball to short every time is going to be limiting him, but there's probably a time and a place for both. And, you know, I think Pete's been open to that. And, you know, it's all about believing in whatever you're committed to as a hitter. And I think he's got a chance to have a lot of tools in his tool belt that over 600 at bats is going to be a pretty, pretty impressive combination of things. And just a guy who can impact the game in so many ways and really, really help winning.
Now, Spiegs on these airwaves is in a lot of ways the embodiment of Cubs fandom that sort of rides the emotional waves of feeling like you guys have figured things out, you got it rolling, and it's an opportunity to get a sweep over the weekend and couldn't quite pull that one out. How is that roller coaster within the locker room? Because the clock is ticking, the season is waning, you're still within reach, but you're not quite all the way in it yet. How are you guys handling that aspect?
Yeah, I mean, it's a tough sport to play when the feeling is that you need to sweep or you need to win, you know, 13 or 14, or those are challenging things in baseball. And it, you know, it speaks to the importance of consistency across 162. And you know, we have played better baseball as of late. And, you know, I think on the offensive side have shown improvement in our lineup and our depth, you know, but the stretches of baseball we played in May and June that really put us behind the eight ball, like those are real things and those are loud and that put us in a challenging spot. And that's the reality of it. You know, moving forward, the goal and the objective is the same of winning games, winning series, sweeping series and dominating. And that's the outlook and that, you know, that's what we're going to head into this series with for sure.
All right. So yeah, the next 15 games against teams with records under 500, 12-3. All right. Okay, man. Good talk. You know?
Yep. 15 for 15. Why not?
All right. Let's do it. Let's do it. Aiming high. Nico, thanks for the time, man. Appreciate it. Have a good series.
All right, guys. Thank you.
You got it. That's Nico Horner.
Nico!
Going to see his pal. Yeah, you're right, man. You're right in terms of the way that it feels. We talked about it yesterday. I described their whole season as one big taunting penalty.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a really good, vivid description.
Oh, like God. That. Here, like, here. And they win two, lose one. Win one, lose one. Mm. Win two more, lose one. And you can't do that by this time in the year.
You were afraid to crush Nico's sort of, you know, whimsical hand in
Thank
your mighty
you.
Grip. That's what
Thank
it was.
You. I was
you
being
know?
Gentle.
You knew he was recovering still.
I was being considerate.
Mm-hmm. You right. Know? You've already been accused of injuring him last year. Wasn't it Nico? You got accused of injuring Nico last
Joe
year?
Joe Kelly?
Is that who it was?
Joe Kelly?
Yeah. Didn't somebody like pull a hamstring after they talked to you or
yeah,
something
Joe,
like that?
Yeah, Joe Kelly was in the studio with me and, God, what was the guy's name? I don't know.
That's hard to remember.
Joe Kelly was in the studio.
I felt like you remembered a moment ago, but I could be wrong. Just old habits.
I did. I said part
muscle
of the
memory.
Spiegel.
I'm talking muscle memory all Dude. The time with these young quarterbacks.
Oh,
it's just
man.
Ingrained in you at this point.
I mean,
point.
What are you supposed to do? I'm so, doing a reset.
You're supposed to say the correct name. That's what you're supposed to do.
What is the correct name?
I mean, I'm told it's Score Afternoons.
Yeah, it's just Spiegs and Ann Heron.
That's right.
And tomorrow it's going to be Spiegs and Gabe Ramirez. Spiegel knows best.
Yeah.
Spiegel and Gabbity. Skibbity Bobbity. But yeah, no, I did use the wrong name. Yeah, it was Joe Kelly. Joe Kelly, he had a baseball.
Okay.
He brought a baseball in as a prop, and I rolled it back over to him, and it went onto the ground. And then he reached over from his chair right over there, reached over from the chair, came up and grimaced ever so slightly. He didn't ramble as he grimaced, but he did grimace. Just a little bit, and then he was on the injured list.
Shout out to Mac.
The next morning, it was the bing bang boom.
It
on
was
the
obviously
list.
You're doing.
Yeah. Did anybody ever shake your hand with, you know, vehemence and way too much anger and too much?
But whenever you know
way too
some
much
of
strength.
The nieces in my family, whenever they introduce me to a young gentleman, they get the full might of my grip every single time.
They do.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Every time.
Because you're trying to teach them a lesson or show them?
I mean,
them?
I'm obviously going to be bigger than them in most cases anyway.
Yeah.
But then just to add the additional force and dominance that comes from a handshake, it's worthwhile.
It's the same guy who wore a tank top all through high school.
Senior year.
Oh, just senior year.
Senior year.
Okay.
Yeah. On football days. Senior year on game day, specifically.
Okay. So that's when Bielema ran into you.
It is.
Understandably. A little bit later on, in our next hour, we'll talk about other football towns around America seemingly as excited as we are about the Bears. Should we be? If you missed the news of the day, Matt Eberflus says the Caleb Williams and other starters are not going to play on Thursday night. Anthony is disappointed. It's Hard Knocks Eve. I'm picturing the dude, the fan of the show out there in the burbs with his tent, his Bears tent that he bought at Costco, getting
this
ready.
This counts as Hard Knocks Day, right?
Yeah, this is Hard Knocks. Yes, I guess it is Hard Knocks Day. Mm-hmm. Last night was Hard Knocks Eve. How did you celebrate last night?
With ice cream?
Okay, well, that's a delicious way to celebrate. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we will touch on that. Lessons in teaching and coaching when it comes to the modern athlete. Chris Emma at 5 with all the latest after a Bears practice and press conference. But coming up next from the Brett Boone podcast, it's that guy. It's Brett Boone. That's next on 670 The Score.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
you're working from home. You settle in with a cup of coffee, ready to get the day started. Before you look at that to-do list, turn on your favorite Odyssey sports station on your smart speaker. We'll keep you company and bring you the latest updates from your teams while you tackle your inbox or get ready for another meeting that probably could have been an email. Power through the workday with the entertaining sports coverage you love from the local voices you trust. Just ask your smart speaker to play your favorite station.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.